Good morning. My name is Stephen Osborne, and I'm coming from Living Hope Church. My wife and baby are here, so Elena says hi as well. I'm really excited to be here with you this morning, and it's a great honor to be able to share from the Word of God with you. Earlier this year, the Lord gave me this message, and the title of the message is Gentleness, and the subtitle is The Forgotten Fruit. And although the Lord gave me this message earlier this year, I feel like now it is even more important and even more timely. So I wanted to share it with you today. You may be familiar with the concept of the fruits of the Spirit in the book of Galatians, chapter 5. And if you all want to turn there with me, in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, Paul is writing a letter to the church at Galatia. And the context for this letter is that overall, the people of Galatia have been receiving this teaching that that they have to engage in certain ritual, the ritual circumcision, in order to be saved. And so Paul spends a lot of the letter talking about this and addressing that heresy that had been taught in the church. But then towards the end of the letter, here in chapter 5, Paul is talking to the Galatian Christians about how to live, how to truly live in the Spirit as opposed to being living in the flesh. And so I'm going to read from Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 26. So I'm going to start broadly, and then I'm going to narrow in on this concept of gentleness. But I want to give this context because I think it will help us understand what Paul is trying to convey to us about gentleness. So he tells the church in Galatia, "For you were called to be free, brothers and sisters. Only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out, or you will be consumed by one another. I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I am warning you about these things, as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." So I want to focus in specifically on the fruit of gentleness. So first of all, we see in these passages that Paul gives two different listings, right? First, he lists these things that are what he calls the works of the flesh, right? And he lists a long list of things that I think we all would agree are pretty bad, right? These are things that we associate with evil, and these are things that we want to avoid. But he says that these are the works that naturally come from the flesh. But then he contrasts that with the fruit of the Spirit. Do you notice the two different words he uses there? He says the works of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit. You see, if we're trying to overcome our challenges just in our own ability through our own flesh, what will end up coming out, no matter how hard we try, are these works, right, that naturally flow from our flesh. But if we want to have the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, it's not something that we can just say, if I just try hard enough, then I can have love. If I just try hard enough, then I can have joy. If I just try hard enough, then I can have peace, patience, and the list goes on. Or in our case today, gentleness. Those things are natural fruit that occur from our relationship with and walking in step with the Holy Spirit. So I want to get into that today, and I want to try to answer three questions. So there's three questions I want to tackle today. First, what is gentleness? When we talk about gentleness, what are we really talking about? I'm just going to go back there. Secondly, what are the characteristics of a gentle person? And then thirdly, how do we receive gentleness? So first, I want to ask the question, what is gentleness? This is kind of a difficult topic. One of the reasons why I use the subtitle, The Forgotten Fruit, is because this is a fruit that's kind of difficult to get our minds around, right? We kind of know the idea of being gentle, right? The other day, I was at a birthday party with the baby, and there was a balloon that was blown up, and we were taking the baby's hand and putting it on the balloon and saying, gentle, like, don't pop the balloon, right? So we kind of have this idea of what it means to be gentle, but it's hard to put it into words. It's hard to wrap our minds around it. So when we're talking about gentleness in our society today, a lot of times there is either misunderstandings about gentleness, one way or the other. Either someone views gentleness as being just passive and just allowing bad things to happen. So sometimes society actually condemns gentleness nowadays. Right? Just think about, like, if you turn on the news, right? There's one group of people who say, yeah, if you're gentle, then you're allowing injustice to happen, and that's a problem. You have another group that says, if you're gentle, you're weak and a loser. Like, gentle people don't win. So that's how our modern society looks at gentleness oftentimes, right? And so we get all of these conflicting messages. And we see, like, this is the outcome, right? I pulled this photo of a guy getting in a police officer's face, right? Much of our society today thinks that gentleness is a problem that to be avoided. On the flip side, within Christian circles, sometimes we view gentleness as being detached and passive and just, you know, allowing bad things to happen. And so I think both of those definitions are not what the scripture tells us about gentleness. So I want to dig into this. What is gentleness? So in Paul's letter to the Galatians, this letter was originally written in language Koine Greek. So I looked up the word. What is the word that he used for gentleness? So this is word praotes, right? So the definition of this word, like, what does this word mean? It means power with reserve or strength under control. So the connotation, you see I have horse's hooves here. The connotation is a strong horse that is bridled, right? So if you've ever ridden a horse or you've seen a horse, it has this it's called a bit in its mouth, right? And then the reins, it allows the riders to steer the horse. So this horse is a very powerful animal, right? If you like cars, you know, you'll hear the saying horsepower, right? It's literally a measurement of how powerful the car is. This is a very powerful animal, but in order for the horse to be effective, in order for the horse to do its job and to get the rider where the rider needs to go, the rider needs to be able to steer the horse. So the connotation behind gentleness is a horse that the rider can actually ride to the destination, right? The rider can actually steer. So I want to contrast that with what gentleness is not, right? So you might say, well, you know what? Horses are powerful. And you might say, I am not. I'm not a powerful person. I don't have a lot of influence. I don't have a lot of power. So I guess gentleness isn't going to be a problem for me. But I want to encourage you that weakness does not equal gentleness. And one particular reference I want to point to here is Christ's parable in Matthew chapter 18. And in that passage, Christ is giving the account of the wealthy man who had a servant, right? The Bible says that the servant, Jesus said the servant owed a debt to this very wealthy, powerful man. And the wealthy, powerful man was about to throw him into prison because the debt had not been paid. And he said, listen, I'm about to throw you into prison. But the man begged for mercy, and the powerful man forgave this man who owed him a great debt. The man who owed him a great debt was very weak, right? He didn't even have the ability to repay this debt, but he was forgiven the debt. And Jesus said that that this man who was forgiven went out, and another servant who owed this man, the man who was forgiven, even less money, begged for forgiveness. Please, I can't pay you. And the man said, no, I'm going to send you and your family to jail, right? So Jesus used that as an example of the need for our for us to exercise forgiveness. But he's also pointing to this, I think it also points to the fact that the man who was in the middle here, right? The man who was initially forgiven, this man was in a weak position. And yet what little bit of power he had over this other servant, he didn't exercise that power gently, right? He didn't exercise the same gentleness that was shown to him. This wealthy, powerful man had power over him and over his life, and that man exercised it with gentleness. But he did not exercise his own smaller amount of power with gentleness. So I want to encourage you, even if you think, hey, listen, I'm just a student, or hey, listen, I'm just like, I don't have a lot of power, I don't have a lot of influence, how is this going to apply to me? There are situations in all of our lives where we have some amount of strength, right? We have some amount of power that's in our hands, and whether or not we are gentle determines whether we exercise that with control. So I want to help frame this up, that this is applicable to all of us, regardless of our situation. So what gentleness is? So gentleness is strength under control. So one example of that, and we're going to hit on this theme several times throughout the sermon, is the life of Jesus Christ himself. So I want to keep the focus on his examples for us. Jesus, when he was being arrested, and Peter decided to, hey, I'm going to take things into my own hands and try to prevent this from happening, and he struck the soldier with his sword. You know, Jesus rebuked Peter, and he said, look, I could command 10,000 angels to come and assist me, right? But he exercised that restraint. And instead, he allowed himself to be taken to the cross for our benefit, right? So that's the example and the framework we want to keep in mind when we're thinking about what gentleness is. So the next question I want to get into and dig in a little bit is, what are the characteristics of a gentle person? So I'm going to begin... there's three characteristics I want to focus in on. First characteristic of a gentle person is forgiving. So we talked about this in the context of the parable, right? Where even the man who had less power had the opportunity to forgive and did not. But I also want to point to the example of the woman caught in adultery. Many of you have probably heard of this story. It's in the Gospel of John in chapter 8. But Jesus is being tested by the religious leaders. So they're trying to undermine him. They're trying to put him in difficult situations in order to try to test him. And so they bring to him a woman who was caught in the act of adultery. The penalty for someone who was caught doing that was death in that culture and in that society. So the religious leaders bring her to Jesus. And they ask Jesus, hey, what should we do with this woman? And Jesus says, those of you who are without sin, cast the first stone, right? And then they all drop the stone. It said from the oldest to the youngest, right? They all dropped the stone, their stones, and then walked away. They left her to be judged by Jesus, right? So Jesus still has power of judgment over this woman. And she had sinned. But he chose instead, his response to her was an example of gentleness. He had every authority and right to punish her, but he said that he forgave her, and then he commanded her, go and sin no more. So he had the opportunity in that moment to both forgive her and put her on the right path and set her on the right path. So I think about in our own lives, when someone sins against us, right? When someone insults us, when someone commits a wrong against us, in that moment, we have some power in our hand, right? We have a choice of what to do with that power that we have in our hand. We can, and what we choose to do with that power that's in our hand will impact not just the person who's wronged us, but also will impact us. And the example of gentleness is found with Jesus. If we, our focus should be, yes, like when we've been wronged, we should forgive the person who has wronged us, and then we should also help to set them on the right path, set them on the right course. This is an example of taking the strength that we have, right? We could hold on in unforgiveness. We could use it as leverage over the other person and try to hold it over their head. We could do that, but that wouldn't be acting in a gentle way. So the example of gentleness, a gentle person is forgiving. The next passage, the next characteristic of a gentle person is a gentle person is humble. So I want to quickly reference a scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. And I'm just going to pull this up very quickly. So in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse, the second part of verse 1 and into verse 2, Paul urges the church in Ephesus. He said, I urge you to walk worthy of the calling you have received. And then in verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. And I think that this is an especially important passage for us as we think about the qualities of gentleness. So notice that Paul there, he says, he couples together humility and gentleness. So humility and gentleness are intertwined virtues. Humility is ultimately necessary for true community, right? So we learn this. If you want to have a good relationship with your spouse, if you want to have good relationships with your friends, if you want to have a good work relationship with your coworkers, there are times where you have to sacrifice what you want. There are times where you have to say, I'm not going to have my own way. And that requires humility, but it also requires gentleness, right? Because I could assert myself, right? I could insist on having my own way. That power might lie within me, but I have to keep that under control in order to exercise that humility, right? So that humility and that gentleness are tied together, and they're interlocking virtues. And so it requires a level of selflessness from us. You begin to see here how some of the fruits of the Spirit actually overlap with one another. Just as some of those vices that Paul pointed to overlap with one another, the fruits also reinforce and support one another. The third quality I want to talk about in a gentle person is a gentle person is not contentious. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, Peter is talking about Jesus Christ. And he says, he did not, in starting in verse 22, he said, he did not commit sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was insulted, he did not insult in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. And this verse, this really hit me, when I was studying and preparing for this sermon, because Peter here is describing how Jesus Christ lived his life. And there is a passage in the New Testament where in the Gospels where Jesus is being confronted once again by these religious leaders. And literally they insulted Jesus in some of the worst ways. When Peter says that Jesus was insulted, remember at one point, These religious leaders told Jesus, they said, hey, listen, our mother didn't conceive us through sexual immorality. So in front of the whole crowd, they're saying your mother, had sex outside of marriage, right? Your mother, they were saying something to the effect of like, your mother was a whore, right? They were attacking his mother in a most vicious way. and attacking him in a very vicious way. And I think about how would I have responded to that? How would any of us have responded to that, right? And yet, the scripture says that Jesus did not return insult for insult. And so much of our society today is built on returning insult for insult, right? Matter of fact, like I think about in how social media operates, so much of it is built on insulting someone else, right? That's what gets the clicks. That's what gets the attention. That's what gets the focus. And so you see how that begins to seep into the way we live our lives. It begins to impact how we interact with other people. And eventually, if we're not careful, it can impact our relationship with the Lord. So as a gentle person, we are to imitate Christ. And when we receive insult, we are to control our response to that. It doesn't mean that we don't respond. It means that we control the way in which we respond. Just as Jesus did in that situation. Jesus brought back, it said that Jesus did not return insult, but then his approach to it was to entrust himself to the one who judges justly. So when you're insulted by your coworker, by your professor, by your family member, right? When you're insulted, you have a choice. You can either raise the temperature, you can ratchet things up and respond in a harsh way, or you can entrust yourself to the one who judges justly. You can say, Lord, I'm putting this in your hands. You're the just judge. I'm leaving it there, and I'm trusting you. God will vindicate you better than you can vindicate yourself. God will vindicate you better than you can vindicate yourself. There is nothing that will come out of your mouth in that moment that will benefit you as much as God's vindication will benefit you. But you have a choice to make, right, in that moment. And so we're encouraged to trust ourselves to God and allow the fruit of the Spirit to work in our lives, the fruit of gentleness. So how can we receive gentleness? In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus helps us understand how we can receive gentleness. So remember at the beginning, I pointed out that Paul uses works of the flesh and fruits of the Spirit. So obtaining gentleness is not going to come from just waking up in the morning and exercising your willpower to become more gentle. But gentleness will come ultimately through submitting ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and to the work of the Spirit in our life. So in Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In some translations, it says gentle and lowly in heart. If you take that that word gentle, remember earlier I said Paul used that word praoutes, right? Go look at the Greek word that's used for gentle there. It's praus, right? It's the same root word. Same root word that Paul is getting at when he's talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And literally, if you read that line literally, it would say, "I am praus, I am gentle and humble in the heart." Right? So Jesus is saying like the posture of his heart is humble. And remember we talked earlier about how humility and gentleness, they work together. So Jesus is saying here, like, learn from me. Follow my example. I am gentle and I am humble in the heart. So literally, just to kind of give you a picture of this. So this picture is a yoke. When Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you," you see these two oxen here, that wooden beam that's holding them together, that's a yoke. That's what allows those oxen to remain in line as they're plowing a field, right? These oxen are able to keep in step with where the farmer needs them to go so that he can get the field plowed. Notice here that their action is restrained, right? They can't just wander off and go wherever they want. They're being directed with that yoke. Earlier, we talked about a horse being bridled, right? Notice where does the bridle go on the horse? It goes in the mouth. Like, one of the hardest things for us as Christians to do is to control our tongue and what we say. You know, James says that the tongue is like a fire, right? Right? And he compares it to, you know, he said you have a giant ship and a tiny rudder, and that rudder can steer the ship. He's like, just like that, like our tongue steers all the rest of us. So it's so easy for us to lose control of what's coming out of our mouths. But here Jesus is saying, just like that yoke keeps those oxen in line, just like the bridle keeps the horse, it steers the horse, that's what we are to do with the Holy Spirit. We are to allow the Holy Spirit to guide our actions, to guide what comes out of our mouths, and follow Christ's example in being gentle and lowly in heart. So how do we receive gentleness? I want to circle back to that passage that we started with in Galatians chapter 5. So starting in verse 24. So this is right after he lists the fruits of the Spirit. And in verse 24, he closes out that portion of the letter by saying, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So I want to just leave us with this point. If we want to receive gentleness, ultimately, we have to allow our flesh to be crucified with Jesus Christ. We have to walk in step with the Holy Spirit to produce the fruits of the Spirit. We have to crucify our passions and desires of the flesh and place those on the cross. Let Christ take those. And then once we've done, like as we're allowing Christ's yoke to come on us, as we're walking in step with the Holy Spirit, as we crucify those passions and desires of the flesh, then we imitate and learn from Jesus Christ, being gentle and humble of heart. And when we do that, that's going to impact how we interact with our coworkers. It's going to impact how we interact with our friends, how we interact with our families. And ultimately, that's going to produce fruit in our lives and in the lives of those that we come into contact with. So let's pray together. Lord, I thank you so much for your goodness, Lord. I thank you that you are gentle and you are humble in the heart. Lord, you've given us an opportunity to truly be free, to truly be free by submitting to the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Lord, I pray that we would not try to rely on the works of the flesh, which only produce evil. But Lord, instead, let us rely on the fruits of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And specifically, God, I pray that you would just bring that forth, that fruit of gentleness in our lives. I pray that when we're tempted to respond insult with insult, Lord, that you would help us to control our tongue, that you would help us to control our responses. Lord, I pray that when we are wronged by someone else, that you would give us the strength from the Holy Spirit to be able to forgive that person and then to be able to speak life to that person. God, I pray that when we are faced with the temptation of pride, when we are faced with the temptation to insist on our own way, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be humble and that you would help us, Lord, to exercise gentleness in that moment and, Lord, to place others above ourselves, Lord. God, I know, Lord, that these are things that you're working in us constantly, Lord. Lord, none of us are perfect. Lord, none of us have everything perfectly together. But Lord, we know that you can do this work in us, Lord, and that you tell us in your word that you want to do this for us, Lord, to grow us and help conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we place ourselves at your feet and we ask that you please just grow us and help us in this way. And Lord, I pray, God, that for everyone here today, Lord, that throughout this week, Lord, that you would just be with them and strengthen them and help them, Lord, in their workplace, Lord, in school, Lord, in their home. God, I pray that you would just bless everyone in all of those areas, God. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.